Shugyo Kai, where a single aphorism about not forgetting can generate more apparatus than most doctoral theses. Welcome back.
Today, we're working through Latex Space Coyote's close reading of Ueshiba Morihei's fifth teaching verse, the one that locates the dojo not in a building, but in the body itself. The segment covers translation, classical grammar, and what it actually means to practice everywhere, all the time.
Let's start with the body as dojo.
The question this piece puts on the table is deceptively small. Where does practice happen, and who's doing it? The fifth in Ueshiba's series of teaching verses answers both at once.
And the translation given here makes that answer hard to dodge. The post renders it as, one, as for small matters, as for the body, it is the dojo of Shugyo, and as for the heart-mind, being a practitioner, do not forget.
What this means in practice is that the dojo is not a location you commute to. The post puts it plainly in the Shugyo Kai note. If the body is not established as the dojo, the heart-mind has nowhere to practice. If the heart-mind does not remain the practitioner, the body ceases to function as a dojo. The two conditions are mutually required.
So the building is optional. The body is not.
Right, and the commentary goes deep on why the phrasing does that work. The classical connective nishite couples body and heart-mind as parallel nominal predicates. Body is place, heart-mind is person. And the prohibitive, wasuru bekarazu, closes the whole paired proposition as a single admonition. You were not just told to remember one half.
The post also spends real time on the opening phrase, shou nishite wa, which is usually read as something like, in small matters. The argument here is that shou is doing something more structural. It's scaling down from the cosmic and social scope of the preceding principles to the smallest unit where any of that purpose can actually be lived.
That framing connects directly to the speech act analysis in the post. The final wasuru bekarazu is not described as a reminder. It functions as a prohibition, an illocutionary act that, as the post says, strips the place of training away from the building and reattaches it to the body.
Which is a very elegant way of saying the moment you read it, you're already in the dojo.
The post also includes an interpretive recomposition of the maxim as a classical waka, 5-7-5-7-7, with the central line kokoro koso acting as the hinge between the body field above and the heart-mind field below. The commentary is careful to note that this is a distinct work, not a transcription. It shifts from precept to self-examination, asking whether the dojo has truly filled the embodied self, rather than declaring that it must.
The distinction between Shugyo, written with the character for mastery of a discipline, versus the homophone, written for religious practice, gets its own careful treatment, too. The post resists collapsing them, while noting their historical overlap in martial and religious contexts.
And the resonance with Ziami's Shoshin Wasuru Bikarazu is acknowledged, but held at arm's length. The post calls it intertextual resonance rather than direct inheritance. The same admonitory cadence, not a citation.
The coda lands the whole thing without flinching. Not forgetting means this body, right now, is the place. And this heart-mind, right now, is the learner, however accomplished one becomes.
That's the stakes. The question isn't where training occurs. It's what you make into the dojo and as whom you stand within it. The next principle in the series opens outward again, toward the divine, toward the world. This one first asks whether the ground under your feet is solid.
Body as dojo, heart-mind as practitioner, small matters as the actual test. That's a lot of weight for one sentence.
It earns it. Next time, more of Ueshiba's verses, and more of the apparatus that keeps them honest.